So as you've heard, we just got back from camp, and I'm still a bit tired, but it was well worth it. And for some reason, as I was just sitting down, there was a camp song which wasn't it sprung forth at a campfire, and it was just so random, but it really became a camp song for the rest of the week, which was really weird. And any of the youth sitting at the back, Aaron, why are you sitting at the back? No, I'm referencing the camp song. There was this camp song, basically a campfire. Aaron can explain it.
Okay, so there's this guy named Sheldon Fernando, and no one likes him. We don't want to like him, so we're like, so this guy Storm, he like makes up a song, and so we're like sitting back in the, on the log, and we're like sitting back here, gonna throw something at Sheldon like a rock. Sitting back here, gonna throw Belinda at Sheldon.
Thanks. I don't know why that was just in my head, but it was just a random side note, and I don't know why I shared it, but it was just really funny and reminded me of camp. But there you go. I actually do have a testimony from camp, which I didn't share then because it's sort of my segue into what I want to talk about today. But at camp, one of the night topics that we planned, which didn't actually happen until the next morning, was washing of feet. Our theme for camp was actually hands and feet and how we can be the hands and feet of Jesus and what that looks like in our daily lives, whether we're at school, work, or no matter what we're doing in life. And one of the things we really felt as just directors and for the spiritual side of things was that we really want to wash the campers' feet and just really impart worth into them. And the night before we were going to do this, our director team, so there was four of us, really felt like we should wash the feet of our counselors if they felt comfortable with it. There were some people who wanted their hands washed because they weren't comfortable with their feet, but we just really got the chance to wash their feet or hands and just really bless them. And through this experience, God really showed me something else that he just reminded me of the verse, what you did for the least of these, you did for me. And it wasn't that we were doing anything to say that we're washing your feet because just for any specific reason other than God deemed you worth it. And the feet is typically the dirtiest part of the body. And especially at camp, in our chapel, whenever we came in, we had to take off our shoes. So there's lots of people who were wearing sandals and they're in bare feet. And dirt got everywhere, but their feet were pretty much the dirtiest part of the body. And it was just really powerful for me because it was, as I was washing the feet of other people, I got my feet washed as well by our youth pastor, Ben Kennedy. But as I was washing the feet of other people, Jesus was just speaking to me about, I would do this for you and so much more. And it wasn't saying that we are the least of these, but he also brought to mind the verse, just like he takes care of the birds of the air, how much more will it take care of us? And that's sort of what I want to talk about today is just, I know that it's fall and we already prayed for the people going to school, but I also felt like just as it's a new month, it's September and it's the end of summer, there's lots of people going through a different number of changes or a season of transition where there are just lots of things coming together into one big cumulative, just like a big moment of change in some people's lives. And what I really felt God wanted to share today was just having blind faith and trust in him and just stepping out in what he's asking of us. And even just from that story about me washing feet and Jesus telling me how much would he take care of me, if we know that he's going to take care of us, how much more can we trust him? And that was really something that he shared with me. For those of you who don't know, I'm just going to share a bit about myself before I actually start talking about this so that you know a bit about me. But John's my brother, so I've grown up with him for my entire life, not his. But in September, so a year ago now actually, I did the School of Ministry, the heart module, and after that it ended in January. I went to Puron Outreach, and in Feb I started an internship with the Youth Network. So I've been doing that, and I've signed up for a year. But it's just a bit hard because I'm in that place where I don't have a job, I don't really have money, and trust in God is all that I can really rely on at this point in time because being an intern, I work 4 days a week, plus ministry on top of that, so having a job really isn't optional. It would be really hard to find a job that would fit the needs, but God provided a job for me, which is working at the church nonetheless. So I work and intern at the same place, but it's really cool because I'm usually there anyway, so whenever I'm there, I can work and intern at the same time if need be. But that's just a little bit about my life leading up to this point and really what God's been showing me about trusting him throughout this time. And that's where this talk really sort of springs out from, because it's something that I've been walking through myself. So just before I actually start into it, I just want to pray and just open it up for God to come speak. So Holy Spirit, we just give you control this morning, and we just say, even now, would you start showing us some areas where we may be holding on to something that we haven't fully given up to you, where we've decided that we may be able to do something better with what we have than you are. And would you just start revealing those areas to us and just give us the grace to start trusting you with everything that we have, not just some parts of us, not just one area of our lives, but with everything and all that we are. Amen. So to start off, if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Matthew 14, verse 22. And it's the story of the disciples on the boat, and Jesus is walking on the water towards them. And Peter just wants to take the step. So we're going to start from 22 and just read almost to the end. But Matthew 14, verse 22. And if you want to follow along, my version is the New Living Translation, so it might be a different version, but you can follow along if you feel free to. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake, while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." And Jesus said, "Yes, come." So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. And Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" And even last night, God just really showed me that story, and I've heard it so many times before, but it's just like Peter took that bold step of faith, asking God to tell him what to do. When he saw Jesus coming towards him, Peter took the bold step of faith and said, "Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come and I will come." He didn't say, "Jesus, if that's you, give me a sign or to show me that it is you." But he knew that it was God, and he said, "If you tell me to come, then I will come." And he took that first step outside of the boat, just looking at Jesus. What I imagine it is that he's on the boat, he's just staring straight at Jesus in the eyes, and he steps over the side of the boat. And then as he steps onto the water and he realizes what he's doing, he looks around him and he sort of loses focus on Jesus, and he focuses on what's around him, his circumstances, and just being on the water, which from an earthly standard is impossible. But with Jesus, it's possible. And he realizes that what he's doing, he just starts to doubt. He takes his eyes off Jesus and he just starts to doubt. Doubt first enters his mind. So he goes from a bold place where he's fully trusting God, and then that moment that doubt enters his mind, where he looks around and he realizes what he's actually doing, that's when he starts sinking, and he asks Jesus to come save him. And I've definitely been in that place where I've been looking at Jesus, but then certain circumstances come around where maybe something, my car recently broke down, actually the week before camp, and I had no money to fix it or anything, but my parents helped support me, and it could have been so easy for me to try doing it on my own, where I'm saying, "God, I know that you can provide, but I think that I can do a better job with this," and trust what I can do better than God can do. Aaron, can I get you up here? And John? And Sam?
It's gonna be dangerous.
How about you guys?
It's gonna be, yeah.
No? It's trust. Okay, Aaron, face me. Sam, do you want to stand behind Aaron and face me?
Sure.
You're not actually going to do anything. I'm just going to use you as to show. Okay, it's sort of like the trust fall, where Aaron, you don't have to fall, so don't worry. But Aaron falls back, and Sam's there to catch him. Now, for these purposes, I'm going to use Aaron as us. Sam is Jesus, or God. And John, you'll come into this in a second. So when Peter first takes that step of faith, it's like the trust fall with just Jesus behind him. And he knows that Jesus has got his back, that Jesus will catch him. But then when he looks around at his circumstances, this is where you come in. I told you just a second. It's you're going to come in between, so you might need to create more space because he's a bit bigger. It's just like when Peter first looks at his circumstances around him, he sort of puts his own trust in himself and what he can do, which is signified by John, in between him and Jesus, because he wants a backup. He wants to make sure that he has some security. And you can try it if you want, but I don't. Okay, thanks. You guys can sit down. But it's something like that. That was like a very, very, like, I don't know, not good example, but it was the first thing that came into my mind. But it's just like that trust exercise where you have one person standing behind you, and that person is God. And usually we minimize how big God is in our lives. We tend to think of him as this small back burner person who we turn to when we need help. But why don't we turn to God when things are going good, when we have everything that we need and we thank him for what he has given us? And then how much easier would it be for us when things are difficult to go back to him and say, God, I know that I've trusted you when times are good, when things are bad, and I know you've always come through for me. And now I need your help again. One thing he also showed me was the Israelites in the desert. They were in the desert for 40 years. And I don't think it would have taken them that long, but it was just a various amount of circumstances that came up, whether it was because of what they had done, their sin, and other things that caused them to be wandering for that long. But one other thing that really he brought to mind was that it took 40 years for him to get the slavery mindset out of them, because they'd been slaves for pretty much their entire lives up to that point. But God wanted to bring them to that place where they weren't slaves anymore and they were his sons and daughters. And it took 40 years to get that mindset out of their heads. And that was when he brought them into the promised land. And even though things may come around us which are hard, which we may not see a way out of, which we don't know how we're going to get through, God is asking us whether we're going to keep focusing on him or let those circumstances decide who we turn to. Whether we let those circumstances determine whether we try it on our own and we try doing things our own way, or whether we're going to keep our trust in him. And he definitely has a bigger purpose in all of it. Just like the Israelites, he had that in mind to take away their mindset so that when they did enter the promised land, they wouldn't enter as slaves, but they would enter as free sons and daughters of him. That they wouldn't enter and just start toiling and thinking that nothing was theirs, because that's what slaves' mindsets are. They are owned by their masters, and everything that is around them is their masters. And that's what the Israelites were like, because they were owned so long by the Egyptians. And God didn't want them to come into the promised land thinking that everything wasn't theirs, because God deemed it was theirs. He made it for them, and he wanted to take them from that place of being slaves to being free. And it took a long time, and they didn't trust God the whole way. They fell many times, but God still had grace on them, and he still brought them to that place. And another story, Jesus in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. I think there's a big significance about just being in the desert, because there's nothing around you. I've never actually been in the desert before, but I've seen it in movies, which I know isn't an accurate description or anything, because it's like so hot, I can't even imagine. Yesterday was 39 degrees outside, and I did not enjoy it. So I would not enjoy a desert. But I have never actually lived in a desert or anything like that, but from what I know, there's nothing around you. You have to find everything that you need. And it's like the wilderness. We're at a camp in Halliburton. And sure, there were things around, but we got provided food. But if you're in the real wilderness, you have to fend for yourself. And it's being in that place where we're in the desert, where we're in the wilderness with nothing else around us, where we can choose to fend for ourselves or we can choose to rely on God, where we can come to the place of fully realizing that we have nothing on our own, where we can come to that place where we surrender everything to God because we can't do it anymore. We can't do it on our own. We can't go on about our lives because it's too hard, but we can surrender everything to God because we do know that He will take care of us, just as the Bible says. And countless stories in the Bible, Job even. I mean, Satan asked God if he could tempt Job, and everything from Job was taken away, but God was faithful because Job did trust Him. He went through a various different supply of circumstances, and he surrounded himself with friends who told him to turn away from God, but he still trusted God to provide for him. And God gave him double what he originally had. And I'm not saying that it's easy. I know it's not from some of my own personal circumstances. But I do know that God is bigger than any circumstance we can ever go through. And even during communion, I was just praying because I really felt it on my heart, but I feel like I should share it now as well. But the cross was not just because God wanted us to have a second chance at life. He deemed us worth it, and He wanted to take care of us. He wanted a relationship with us. And He knew that some of us would reject Him. But He gave us the choice. Would we trust in Him? Would we choose to accept what He has for us? Would we choose to follow Him and let Him be the focus of our lives? Or would we go about our own thing, just working, doing whatever we want to get through life? Or would we let Him speak to us and see what He had to say? Will we take the step like Peter did and just boldly say, Father, if that's Your will, would You tell me to come and I'll come? And then would we have the boldness to just take that first step and trust God? It's just like a blind leap, like the trust fall. You don't know what's behind you. You don't know who's behind you. If Gio was here, I was going to ask him to go behind my brother, because Gio's a bit smaller. But I don't know if he could have physically caught John. But sometimes we do picture God like that. We do picture Him as He's there, but what can He do about it? He's not actually a part of my life. He's not involved in my life. And I think God wants to take that mindset off of some of our heads today. I know I had that. Even with my finances, I'm still struggling with it as well. With my job now, it's a struggle to give away my tithe. But I know that God can do so much more than I could ever do with it. I know that He's got a bigger plan and He's got a bigger purpose. With anything that I make, it's not actually mine, it's His, and it's what He's given to me already. So that's something that He's really been sharing with me, is just the trust. Will you trust Me with your life? Will you trust Me with everything that you have? And I feel like that's something that He wanted to really ask some of us in this room today. Because I've done it. I've said, God, I'm making money. I'll give to other people. I used to buy people food or anything like that whenever I had the money. And that was my offering to God, just because I'd bless other people. But when it came time to actually give in to God or give in an envelope to church, I would say I just can't do it. Because I don't see the purpose in it. That was really my heart and why I didn't want to do that. And He really showed me otherwise and just really brought me to a place of just repenting for what I was thinking, because it wasn't a godly thought. And I'm still struggling with that now. I mean, I'm making money. It's not that much. And I'm interning, so I still need money to pay for my gas, to pay for my car, and things like that. And it's definitely not easy, but I know that God's going to provide. I mean, just coming back from camp, I was invited on a trip to Florida. And it would have been all paid for. But I said no, just because of different things, but I know that God does provide for me. And it's a lot easier once you start lining up those thoughts with actual experiences. It's a lot easier to trust Him when you have a track record of what He's done in your life. And that's why I think it's so important and so well worth the while to start thanking Him for everything that's going on in our lives, when everything's good, when everything's bad. Because then when everything is bad, we can turn to those times where everything was good and say, God, I know You're faithful to come through for me in this. Yeah. So right now, I just want to take a moment. And if you have a pen and paper, or if you just want to talk to God right now, I just want everyone here to ask Him to show you one area where maybe you haven't been fully trusting Him with everything. For me, it was finances, and still is. And for some of you in this room, it might be finances as well, but I really feel like He wants to release blessings upon our lives, but blessings can only come in our lives when we fully release that area of our lives to Him. When we fully say, God, You have full control in this area. I don't want to do it anymore. So I give it all to You. So we're just going to take a moment and just see what He says to each one of us today. Yeah, and if He's just showing you something, I just really feel led to lead you in a prayer of repentance, just for having that mindset that you can do better on your own. So if God's brought something to your mind, I just encourage you to repeat this prayer after me, even under your own breath. And wherever there's a blank with whatever God's brought up, just fill in that area of your life. So Father, today I choose to give to You the area of, and then just say whatever He brought to mind. And I thank You that You've got a better plan for my life than I can even realize at this point. And I'm sorry that I haven't fully trusted You with that area. I ask that right now You'd even just give me the grace to give it all up to You. Because I admit I can't do it on my own. I need You in my life, God. I need You to take control of this area. So I repent for thinking that I could do it better on my own. And I thank You that as I've given this whole area up to You, that as I trust You to move in my life, that You will be faithful to pour out Your love on me. Amen. And I just want to encourage you guys that even with the areas that you felt God say that He wanted all of, it may not be easy. It definitely won't be, actually. I can't sugarcoat it. It definitely won't be easy, especially for me, area of finances. It's definitely not easy, but I've learned so much from just being able to trust God with all my money, with all my finances, and just being able to say, God, You can do a much better job than I could ever do, and I choose to surrender it all to You. And it's just that act of surrender, of that sacrifice, saying that, God, You're bigger than my circumstances, that you're more important than whatever I'm going through, and You can get me through it. It's just that one act that allows God to start working in our lives, where we say we give up full control to You, and He loves pouring out on His sons and daughters. So one of my biggest things was actually receiving, and whenever someone would try blessing me with some money or anything like that, I wouldn't be able to receive it. But I want you guys to be open to whatever God wants to pour into your lives, because He can bless you in many different ways that you won't even expect. But But I want you guys to be open to what he has in store for you, what the ways that he wants to bless you. And you'll be amazed by how he moves in your life.